Welcome back to the Anal Podcast. This is our 42nd Anal Probe segment. Joining us tonight is guest Jacob from Jacob's Bipolar Adventures, as well as John, Jared, Mike, Rochelle, Katie, and a drop-in from Matthew. Don't forget to tell a friend about the Anal Podcast. Like, subscribe, review, because that's how we get noticed, and we love to get noticed.
And congratulations, Dwayne. You won the raffle. Your care package is in the mail. Secret raffle.
Welcome back to the Anal Podcast. Tonight, I am joined by Jacob, Mike, Rochelle, Jared, and John. Why don't y'all go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Jacob. I'm also from Jacob's Bipolar Adventures.
Hi, I'm Mike, and I just got back from a really long, ridiculous flight. And I'm going to talk about that later.
I'm Rochelle, and I'm happy that Mike is back from his trip.
Hi, I'm Jared, and I'm going to help John craft the perfect cover letter.
I am John, and my hometown flooded again today, so that's fun.
It's almost like you knew it was going to happen, huh?
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is pay attention, man. You start predicting shit. People think you're smart or something. You're really not. You're just paying attention.
Wait, so I have a question, though.
Hmm.
So why hasn't the libertarian mayor fixed that? Shouldn't they be able to fix stuff with their less government?
Jared, no, the libertarian mayor doesn't fix it. The business owners fix it. That the libertarian mayor lets ruin, you know, the grounds that used to absorb rain.
Mm.
Yeah, see, now that they're all just paved.
Oh, line goes up, yeah.
Yeah, it's paved with parking lots, and so the ground can't absorb any of the rainwater. So my hometown... Jared's hometown as well, is in a valley. And Jared, you used to live like really close to the area I'm precisely speaking about, I think.
No shit.
By the donut shop that is no longer there.
Oh, that's the pizza place now?
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, up the street. Yeah. I was at the bottom of the hill, yeah.
Yeah, this is the area I'm always talking about.
No shit.
That and the island, which isn't an island. But yeah, they're all, you know, low areas in the valley. So they flood. I went my entire life, and I'm how fuck old am I? 37 now. 37 years. I think this area of the town has flooded 5 times, and those have all been in the last 7 years. And people are like, what's going on? It's flooding. The waterways have been congested with, you know, fixes over the years that were far worse for everything. Like, as the water flows, the aqueduct, I don't know, the ditch, what do you want to call it? The creek that runs, yeah, the channel that runs through the town gets smaller in the direction that the water flows. So, of course, it fucking floods. Like, water isn't this magical thing. It takes up space. And when you make the thing smaller, it just comes out. This is very simple shit.
For our listeners that may have or have not caught on, we live in a Trump-centric town, so...
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The correlation does not mean causation, but holy fuck.
Street lamps are great.
Yeah. I mean, our street lamps are pretty, but, you know, we definitely got a grant for that, and there was no grant available to, like, stop people's houses from being flooded.
No way to move that channel a few feet deeper, a few feet wider.
And it literally... As we are recording, this happened 6 hours ago. It's probably still flooded in certain areas.
Oh, I'm sure people's basements are still ankle deep.
Oh, they're worse than that. Most of the basements in this area just fill. Like, I had a relative, the basement literally filled, you know, about 3/4 of the way full of water. It was a nice little swimming pool in their basement. And, you know, when that happened, sewage also comes up because, you know, just finds the high water mark. So it ruins a lot of things. We know these things are happening. We've also been paving things uphill, like around the old mall. That parking lot didn't go away. The mall is dead, but the parking lot remains. I mean, and that's what happens. You don't tear down a parking lot, or you don't even fucking tear down the mall whenever it's empty. You just leave it there. So gas stations build up around the mall over time, and other secondary and tertiary stores start to blossom, and you get this sprawl similar to a neighboring town that I fucking hate. There's nowhere up on top of the hills that surround my hometown to absorb water anymore. It all just gets channeled via the pavements down into the valley where the poor people live. And no one gives a fuck. Like, hardly any of these people have cars anymore because their cars weren't covered under flood insurance. You know, and why would they need to do that? Because it doesn't flood, but now it does. And now, like I said last week, they all have to carry flood insurance. So if they own the home or they rent the home, they're absorbing that cost. The landlord sure isn't. I mean, can someone that has one leg beat me in a foot race? Sure. Is it a hell of a lot harder? Yes. Is it going to happen? You know, rich people don't live down there.
They live up on the top of the hill where they can literally look down and see the flooded homes.
Exactly right.
It just makes me think of the Oblongs.
No, it's legit that it aligns that closely.
Down in a valley.
It really does. Yeah,
The Oblongs is a great and underrated show, by the way, listeners. Definitely check it out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think the people of this town are just a few more mutations short, to be just a few.
Oh, just a few is right. Some people in that town, I forgot until I visited.
How many flashbacks did you have where you're like, oh, fuck, I forgot what it's like here?
I mean, I drove past the high school, like our high school.
Did you see the white is beautiful sign while you were here?
No, I did not see that.
Wait. I was confused about that. So is there an actual legit sign up in y'all's town that says white is beautiful?
Giant LED lit from both directions.
It's not just one billboard, it's two.
We have had this conversation before of, would we ever move to PA? And right here and now, we've already said, like, I will not move there. So you can just get this recorded for posterity. I will never move there.
Let's let a current native. I will tell you, the white is beautiful sign doesn't even register on my radar. It's just lost in a sea of flags that have the Confederate flag drawn on top of them. And just the Confederate flag hanging, and the no step on snacks flag hanging, and the Blue Lives Matter flags. Like, the whole town is awash in these signs. Like, there are businesses that made Trump Pence signs to fit their 40-year-old marquees.
Well, and let's not forget the Trump 2024 flags. You know.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I saw.
Oh, Jesus. I've been seeing more and more of them.
I saw a bunch of those. And another thing I saw in the area where my mom lives in particular is bad. Well, first of all, there's a dude that just straight up has like four Confederate flags just hung up around his property on a shed on the house. Like, they're just there. It was like, God created us equal. All lives matter. Oh, my God. Yep. There's a sign.
There are some bangers, I'll tell you.
There was back the blue. I saw back the blue, but I saw these signs that say God created everyone equal, all lives matter, like in a few different houses, like in front of a few different houses.
On a bus route going from the high school down the hill into the town, there's a house that students have to go past twice a day in their buses that is awash in these signs. One of them is fuck Biden. Just on the personnel. It's right across from a gas station. But yeah, it's, you know, Trump 2024, fuck Biden, fuck your feelings.
Oh,
what there's the yellow snake flag, like whatever you could picture in your head right now. Yeah, it's hanging there.
I came across like super racist truck ever at an IHOP. Go figure, it was at an IHOP. Sorry, IHOP. Actually, I retract my apology, IHOP. It had a fuck Biden flag. It had a Trump 2024 flag. It had a Confederate flag attached to it. All of them like super sized, like all the size of like the standard American flag you see flying off a flag of a tailgate. Like, it's insane. Absolutely just incredible. And also on the window of the thing, I see a helmet that is specifically a helmet for white supremacists. And it's drenched in the American flag, and I'm like, do you not even understand the irony?
That's pretty common around here.
That
they don't.
Which all of this segues wonderfully into. So are we all gonna like get together as a pod and go see Karen the movie?
Man.
I didn't watch that trailer. I have no idea what the hell that's about.
Hey, go watch it now so we can get your live reaction.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only 2 minutes. Okay.
I think I'm gonna go see it as long as it's in an AMC theater.
Because you can get the perks.
Yeah, well, you can get a free popcorn.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we don't have a theater in our hometown right now, but you know, there's one.
Road Trip.
The Karen movie, though, it really looks like a parody. It looks like an SNL cringe kind of skit that you would see and be like, that was a little weird, SNL. Why'd you do that? But no, it's a real movie.
It was almost like we could probably take it and dub in an SNL live audience laugh track. Mm-hmm. And it would just look like an SNL parody. I don't think there was any difference.
There's this ending scene where the Karen, and I think her name is actually Karen, which is just so fuck. And she's like, I don't know, walking out from some kind of like explosion or house fire. And then it just says like, Karen. And there's like all these flames behind her. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, who made this? Who made this movie? It looks terrible.
Gotta go see it. I have to.
I need to know who the production company is and everything.
I thought it was hilarious. And I heard Jared laughing in my head at the part where the guy discovers a soap dispenser in Karen's bathroom that just has a Confederate flag on it. What? I'm trying to like in my head give the writer or whoever is responsible for this the benefit of the doubt and like looking at it and saying this is to show how ingrained her racism is.
It's on a soap dispenser.
She can't even clean her hands without being racist.
Oh man, it's an ugly soap dispenser too. It's like a big old nasty looking thing. Like, ew,
it's so
ugly.
It's so ham-fisted and there's no subtlety at all. Did you watch Rochelle? Did you watch Get Out?
I did rewatch it last night. Yeah, because that's just a great movie. And why not watch a horror movie when you're all alone?
Aaron looks silly. I want to see it though.
So this Karen movie, do you think it's trying to attempt to parallel Get Out without doing it well?
I don't think so. What I think it actually is more like this one movie I saw that was kind of similar where it was like I think it might have been an interracial couple, but they move in next door to a super racist couple's house. And of course, there's like kind of the same thing, but it reminded, like the Karen movie reminds me more of that. Get Out is just a great movie. I mean, it's such a good horror movie.
Did the couple find out that their neighbors are racist by looking at their soap dispenser?
No, I think they just knew they were racist because they were just like, hey, you guys don't belong together. One of you is white. And so they're just like, yeah, you're racist.
Oh, no.
And that's kind of what, I don't know. After I rewatched Get Out, I was just like, there is no way you can compare these two movies because Get Out has layers.
It's just like thoughts. Abraham Lincoln, right?
Abe Lincoln. He's got a Lincoln log. Abe Lincoln, he wants to export all the slaves back to Africa.
Why, Mike? Why does he want to do that?
Because he's a racist. And I'm just from something awful. I'm just modifying it a little bit.
I've heard that that's might become a genre now because, you know, capitalism. It's like, oh, Jordan Peele, the horror movie that's like social commentary. Let's make one. Yeah.
But not actually fix anything in real life, though, right?
Well, I mean, I've just heard, like, there's this Karen movie, and I think there's others that are in the works or coming out that's, like, the Jordan Peele, like, what he did. It's like these horror movies, but there's this social commentary, right? Sometimes obvious social commentary behind them. Now it's a new marketing demographic and a new genre. Like, let's make this woke horror movie. That's not going to be nearly as effective or say as much as, like, you know, what Jordan Peele does. But, hey, it's like it, right? So we can make money, right? Hey, Karen, right? You know what a Karen is, right? See this movie. She has the haircut. Do you see her haircut?
She doesn't even have the Karen haircut, though. She has a bob.
Wasn't that Karen? Oh, my God, though. I went to a yard sale with my mom while I was visiting, and there was a straight-up Karen with the dyed, like, bob cut with the dyed, like, the highlights. Yeah, the stripey. Yeah. She had the stripey, the giant, like, Chanel sunglasses. It was very stereotypical.
Did she ask to speak to the yard sale manager?
Well, she was the manager, so...
running it.
Nobody getting any bargains there if Karen's running it.
No, Karen was running it. It was her yard sale. We didn't buy anything from her either. But I don't know. She didn't actually act Karen-esque to us anyway.
So my mom asked me a whole bunch if she ever makes it onto the podcast, and I will say that she is going to right now because she was calling the manager over at Walmart, and my dad apologized to the cashier for her being a Karen. There, Mom, you made it on my show.
Oh my gosh, we should have a mom episode one time. I bet you my mom would be on the podcast. She'd love that shit.
All right, I got off topic. Who did I want to bitch about? Oh, yeah. Who wants to weigh in on fucking Bill Cosby walking free to do what he does? Which is rape, in case anyone missed that. It's rape.
Yeah, too angry. I don't have enough energy to be that angry. It's just, I just feel once again that it's reiterated that victims and anything that they have said don't matter. You know, if you are, or if you've been sexually abused, if you've been abused in any way, I feel like this is just a big fuck you and you don't matter. And that's all. That's where I'm at. It's really hard to think about, so I'm not going to think about it. Go get another White Claw.
Does anyone need to add to that?
Are we talking about Bill Cosby?
Yep.
Shitty Bill.
It's my first reaction to all of that was... And Jared, you're supposed to text Katie right now.
She's here.
Okay.
She's here.
I'm here to, hello, I'm here to scream.
Okay.
Hello, Katie. Thank you. She could sense it.
She went, oh, I sense the pods talking about Cosby.
Okay, well, yeah, so here. I'm just not going to say anything on this then. So we have our ringers here, and hopefully Katie's going to drop some gold on us. So
go for it.
Yeah, I'll just shut up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how should I start at the beginning that he's just like, was only sentenced to 3 to 10 years for assaulting 60 women, or...
Sounds like a fair starting place.
Knowingly drugging and assaulting women. He's admitted to it.
Not a case of he said, she said, and no one can really prove it because no one else was there. He's actually admitted he's done this to not just 60 fucking women who mean nothing. Honestly, that's what it feels like, you don't mean anything because now the person who has abused you is just totally free. Nothing really happened. Go back to your life of PTSD and depression and never leave your house.
Yes. Yeah, somehow they were able to make it happen during COVID, but we can't help Britney during COVID.
God! The justice system is so horribly broken!
Well, it's not a justice system. It's a legal system.
Ooh.
That's an excellent point. I mean, Cosby also is insanely rich. And, like, the $1 million settlements he had leading up to finally being convicted of his horrible crimes is just... And no remorse, by the way, right? None.
No.
How could there be remorse if he isn't willing to stay in jail? Yeah, he's like, nope, I'm fighting this. Even though I admitted that I was a horrible piece of rapist shit. Like, nope, get me out of jail, please. I have the money. Get me out.
So who's his next victim going to be? Probably he's going to have someone in the next week.
Fuck. I mean, how old is he now? Everyone knows he's a fucking disgusting...
He's foul. Like 83.
Yeah.
He can still do it. They can still do it.
Isn't he rich enough to make his dick work?
Yeah, and they Strump have
had
that.
Kids well into, what, his 90s?
They make drugs now that can make men have sex with you, even if they're not healthy enough for sex.
Maybe somebody just... like sex murder him then.
Not if they're incapacitated. That's what he does. He incapacitates first because he's such a fucking coward. And
he probably couldn't even get it up for somebody that was willing.
Nope. Or conscious. Disgusting.
So I am unclear exactly on what terms that allowed him to walk at this point and how all of that came to be.
Money?
Not all money.
So when I was talking about it with Matthew, it was a civil suit that one of his accusers brought against him, I guess, in like a different thing, a civil suit, I guess, for damages, for money. And I guess for his testimony on that, they were giving him immunity from jail time. But then once he admitted to all the horrible things that he was doing, they were like, no, we're just not going to do that. So they kind of, you know, fucked up.
Yeah, to say the least.
Would that have been because they didn't believe women at the juncture of making the deal with him?
Only one case was actually still within, you know, the What is that term?
Statute of limitations.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, if they wanted to get the money.
Where they were like, oh, you've already done what you were supposed to have done, and you can't be pursued further.
Yeah, it was so they could get monetary compensation, basically.
So
a couple of them. And that would be my understanding, because that's what civil suits are. It's not.
Yeah. Right. Apparently, if you've settled it in a civil suit, that's it. That's all. Yeah. You don't have to do anything further in a criminal suit.
Well, one doesn't necessarily have to precede the other. Like, OJ faced civil stuff after his criminal case.
Matthew's probably going to yell at us about all of this.
I know. Where has he been? On vacation at the beach.
The immunity was given to him through a deal. It's not inherent in, you know, the process.
I see what you're saying. Yes, yes. You are correct.
Well, I'll take it for now, but we'll talk to somebody that has more than a business law education from senior year of high school.
We are not legal advisors.
That's as much as I have, too. I have, like, a personal business law from high school, too. That's all I've got, so...
Well, we do have an actual attorney, and he's not here, taking a fucking vacation.
I'll do it. It's fine. Regardless, it seems that, like, the way, Katie, you described it just then, it seems like in exchange for his testimony in the civil suit, he was able to get immunity from anything he said during the civil suit. Am I understanding that correctly?
I think it's just he was able to get immunity from criminal charges.
Okay.
I think that's how that works. Like, they couldn't, you know, have him testify.
So then he started rattling off all this shit, and they're like, oh my god, I didn't know there was so much stuff. We're just not going to do that now. Is that kind of what happened?
Yes. I think that's what happened.
But the stuff he was admitting to when they were like, holy shit, was he already accused of it?
I'm not certain. I think at least by a few women he had to be accused of it for the civil suit. At least one.
Right. Yeah. I'm just assuming that, like, this process sort of happened because initially nobody believed the people accusing him, and then he went in and said, yeah, I did it.
Yes.
And so then they were like, oh shit, we should have actually fucking believed victims. But here we are.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if, like, some of them came, you know, before or after the civil suit. They didn't want to be identified or...
Like,
yeah.
Isn't it just a matter of Occam's razor? If 60 people are accusing one person of doing this, they did it?
No, they just want the fame. Yeah, isn't that what we learned with Trump? That they just
all
want the 60 fame.
Of them, yeah.
They all want the fame. Yeah. It was like 21 or 22 women with him or something. I don't know, but all of them just wanted to be famous.
Look at my giant number, double digits.
All of them just wanted to be famous.
That's Trump.
Matthew, how are you?
Hello. I'm pretty good. Hello.
Do you want to talk about how the hell Cosby just walked away being a big old rapist?
Yeah, sure.
That's beautiful. Because we need to know. Yeah, how the fuck does this happen? Katie got all sassy with me when I'm like, I feel like I have no justice system. And she's like, you don't. You have a legal system. And I was like, fuck.
That was good.
Katie drops bombs. Last week, Bieber picks. This week,
no.
Legal system. She's doing it. I mean, I'm still the talent, but, you know, she's coming for my title.
So... I'll start it with this. It was an important decision to make because it wasn't just about Bill Cosby. It would have been extremely detrimental if it had gone any other way. So what happened was the allegations for Bill Cosby started coming out. And I looked at this like kind of today. So the allegations for Bill Cosby started in like 04, 05. And it was only like two women at that time. And the first one couldn't find any evidence to support charges, so they left it. It was pretty quick. Second one, there was a longer investigation, a lot of evidence on both sides, but it eventually ended up fizzling out and nothing happened. But that second woman sued him civilly. When you're sued civilly and there is a potential that testimony in that civil case could incriminate you, you can invoke your Fifth Amendment. So, you know, it's not just in the criminal case that you can invoke your Fifth. But if that were to happen, that means that the person who's suing you is stuck with you not testifying, and they can keep kicking the can down the road until the threat of criminal prosecution is over, or the alternative can happen and the defendant can preemptively work out some sort of deal with the district attorney's office where the testimony that comes out and anything that can stem from that testimony won't be used to prosecute the defendant in the future. That seems to be like what they did, because you can't have a civil case open forever, just kind of waiting for the abstract possibility of criminal charges. In the interest of trying to get it to resolution faster, he cut a deal where his testimony or anything that comes that stems from his testimony would not be used to prosecute Bill Cosby in the future, so that he could be deposed in that civil suit. Well, whatever DA cut this deal with him probably made it too broad and probably made it cover almost anything that could possibly relate to those types of actions by him. And it was, it's a fuck up, right?
Do you think that it was a fuck up, or do you think that the DA did that intentionally because they had some kind of incentive to do it?
There's not really any incentive to do that, okay, unless we're talking about like abstract, you know, like no evidence, you know, maybe there was some bribery.
Yeah.
There's not really any reason to make it that broad. Like I said, it could just be related to the testimony itself and anything that stems from that testimony. But for it to be made as broad as it was, you know, any actions that, you know, were similar or could be construed to be, you know, of the same like and kind, that's too broad. And I mean, could he have been, or could he or she have been swooned by the fact that he was Bill Cosby? Maybe, you know, but I don't know. They could not give a fuck that he was Bill Cosby. It's still a fuck up whether it was on purpose or not.
Colossal failure of every system in which is supposed to apply, quote, just.
Well, just one failure, because what that ended up doing is that got that second woman a pretty large settlement. The problem was,
so she got money and he got free.
She got money and the rest of everyone got burned, right? So, I mean, she kind of, you know, she got her money. Everyone else was kind of screwed by that deal. The thing of it was that she knew apparently about 13 other women who were going to make accusations or supposedly going to make accusations, because she named 13 different Jane Doe witnesses that were going to provide similar accounts of what happened to them. She had to have some idea that there was other women that this happened to, but the reality of the case is it worked for her and it kind of left everyone else hanging out to dry. But the reason it's important is because Bill Cosby's not a regular person, but these types of deals are made with regular people all the time in the interest of, you know, getting a civil suit to resolution. And so that the person who is providing testimony in that civil suit can feel safe providing that testimony, that they won't be prosecuted, so that that suit can have some sort of ending. Because otherwise you just have civil suits open for years and years and years, you know, and no one would ever testify. Everyone would just take the fifth and you'd be stuck. And the people actually trying to recoup would not be able to get testimony out of someone who just pleads the fifth. So it's important that they upheld that, because in the future, you want people to feel like they can make those deals and they're going to be honored. Yeah, I mean, is he a rapist? And did he mostly get away with it? Yeah, but the implication.
Mostly? I'm pretty sure it's just, yeah. Mostly? How do you mostly get away with rape?
Well, to totally get away with it, no one would ever know.
The question for Bill Cosby.
Fucking asshole. Sorry, get continue. Get him on the show. I was enraged about this earlier, and then.
But actually, I think that's a pretty good point. To totally get away with it, no one will come forward. So he didn't totally get away with it, even though that's like the gut reaction feeling is there. I mean, nothing happened, it seems like, but again, survivors were still courageous enough to come forward and accuse someone, especially not a normal person, a celebrity with a shit ton of money and America's dad or whatever. So just, again, you're a survivor. You're stronger than anything.
I'm supposed to be enraged about Bill Cosby walking free because of all that legal stuff Matthew just taught us.
It's not totally a reason to be enraged, right? Because when we think about someone who's not Bill Cosby, you know, and the DA tries to do that to them too, well, you know, we said we weren't going to charge you, but we're going to anyway. and you just confessed, that's a complete violation of their rights. So when it's someone who's not Bill Cosby and doesn't have more money than God and can hire the most sophisticated lawyers out there, they can get railroaded with that. And so it's an important decision for people who are not Bill Cosby.
Well, if you tell me I shouldn't be all that enraged, I'll be 63% less enraged.
But I mean, it still sucks. It still really sucks in your feelings. And it's important to remember that you should feel your feelings. And if you are feeling rage, if it's, you know, triggering that inside of you that just makes you want to go punch a wall, I don't know, maybe just go take a walk instead. Do some yoga or something. One thing I just wanted to say, though, to any survivors out there who wrestle with the fact of, am I going to be believed? Is this even worth it? Is it worth, like, the time and the courage that it takes to stand up and say that something happened to you and you're going against someone who is bigger, more, has more money than you, more famous, more whatever believability. And if you're having a hard time with this, I'm sorry, it sucks, but you matter. You definitely matter. And you know the truth. So I'm sorry also to anyone who this is affecting, because it really sucks. It sucks a lot to feel like you're completely invalidated.
Borrowing from Rochelle's points, which are all incredibly important and valid and need heard over and over again, it seems to me that most times maybe you're not coming forward to help yourself, though it should, or it maybe could help you. But sometimes you're coming forward for the people that can't or won't or need to in the future but can't. It's all very it's a delicate house of cards when you have enough wind against it. I hope.
You mean the defense of the predator is delicate house of cards?
Yes, the defense of Kevin Spacey.
Okay, gotcha. Oh.
It was a house of cards.
It was a very dense sentence.
Going for that pun plus others.
Yeah, it's something like that. It becomes harder and harder to ignore and defend the stronger the wind is against it. I think we have to hold out hope that at some point we finally find the straw that starts breaking all of these camels' backs and houses of cards and things, because I can't begin to imagine what any of this feels like. And I don't want to, but, you know, other voices need heard. Yeah, more than just mine. So be brave, I guess. I don't know what to say, and I don't think I ever will.
Well, I would just like to add that, you know, if you need to protect yourself by not doing these things, that's perfect too.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree.
I would like to add, I just wanted to scream about Bill Cosby. And now this is incredibly more potent than I intended, so... Surprise, listeners!
If only Bill Cosby were more impotent.
Oh, Jesus!
If you see a Bill Cosby near you, sling pudding at him.
Mercilessly. Well, yeah, like, honestly, how now that he's out, like, he's just gonna have to kind of, like, go and hovel and die now, because that's pretty much what's gonna happen.
His public reputation is totally in the shitter, so, I mean...
Is it?
Well...
He was doing comedy specials.
Does it like what's gonna happen?
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
There's still people who wax nostalgic for America's dad.
He'll be touring. Half the country voted for Donald Trump, right? If we weren't commodifying everything, constantly being sold things, because that's how good society works, then maybe we'd be able to catch our breath.
The point is for us not to.
Can we talk about just going into the Capitol to look at historical art like a cop does on January 6th? Can we talk about
that? What?
You mean the one that God damn it. This fucking guy. Oh my God.
This fucking guy.
Like, I'm more upset that he's a moron. Be mad that he's an insurrectionist. Fine. Be mad that he's a shitty cop. Fine. But I am, and I'm probably wrong in this, but I'm mad that he's stupid enough to not understand how to delete things off his phone.
Who are we talking about? Guy.
The cop. The cop insurrectionist.
That Houston police officer. Yeah.
Who said, basically, this all took about 5 minutes, He lied and said, I was just at the place for a Trump rally. I didn't go inside the Capitol to storm it. And that, well, no, okay. Then they showed him the deleted stuff from his phone that shows him in the Capitol with timestamps. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, I just went in there to look at the art during the insurrection. Because it was, you know, they have the times. Like, this is a police officer, an officer of the law that can kill you whenever the fuck they want.
Because we live in a police state.
Doesn't understand how, and correct me if I'm saying this wrong, but how digital file storage works.
The cloud.
No, it's not even that. Like, probably on an SD card on his phone. And, like, when you delete something off of an SD card, it's not gone. It's just telling the phone that this space is available to use, but the stuff's still there. Like, that's how you do forensics. He doesn't know how to do a deep delete. Well, that's just forensics and police work. Like, I have a program on my computer that recovers these files.
Is it called Easy Disk? Because that is like
I have no idea, program. But I used it for some wedding photography that I salvaged that I mistakenly deleted, and that's how I know about it. But like. This is a cop that has to do investigative work.
Let's go ahead and put his name on the record as Tam Pham.
Fun fact about that, John. So did you know in Louisiana, to be a police officer requires, according to this article I see, about 360 hours of training. And if you want to be a manicurist, you need 500 hours of training.
And does somebody just have to sign that you did it?
Training. I mean, probably.
Yeah.
Test. Please tell me there's a test. Comprehensive exam.
I don't know. I mean, it's probably a lot like the driving tests. You just have the old dude that teaches you how to drive. It says thumbs up or thumbs down when you walk in there. Nothing else matters.
In California, a police officer needs 664 hours of training to be a police officer. A cosmetologist needs 1,600 hours to be licensed.
Good night.
Well, the person who has a gun can just fuck off and like, what? That's like a month's worth of training, maybe two?
Less than half the training of someone that cuts your hair.
Is this because it's easier to sue a hairstylist, whoever, over a cop?
Probably.
Period.
Excuse me, officer, I wouldn't even trust you with my nails, okay? Why should I trust you with a fucking gun?
I mean, it's a good point. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah.
I mean, why would we trust somebody who we wouldn't trust with nail polish?
Well, I don't think anyone here trusts them.
No, you know what's super funny? I overheard a conversation today in like a small local store where a man was involved in a small accident that actually cost him a couple fingers. And the distaste for the boys in blue is so bad in this particular area that he went to the hospital instead of calling 911 so he didn't have to bother with police explaining that he had wrecked a car and just said a horse bit his fucking fingers off and they bought him.
Wait, what happened again? Oh,
man. He crashed his car. He had his hand on the window and I guess he drove by a tree and it took off two of his fingers. And instead of calling like for help or getting the cops involved because he didn't want to deal with police because police suck, he just went to the hospital and said a horse bit his fucking fingers off.
Well, yeah, the police don't know first aid, so what's the fucking point?
Well, why the hell would you want to call?
You call 911 here, cops will be an hour here before an ambulance. They'll be here an hour before the ambulance.
I don't want to call a cop for anything.
Yeah.
Every time I've called one, they've done nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do
so what's the point?
They do nothing. They file a report at the scene of an accident. That's what they do. They file a report.
Yeah, maybe.
They're like, here's their information, here's their information. That's the most that you get from them. What have they really done?
But I wanna paint a picture for listeners right now of the man driving down the road with his hand out of the vehicle. He's driving down the road and he gets a little too close to a tree and like or it could be a one lane road. I don't know. It doesn't matter. So at the point at which did he wreck the car or was he just driving and then feel like a sharp pain and then pull his hand in and notice fingers gone?
I walked in and heard, so there was nothing I could do. And then the tree was so close that I was holding my hand up on the top because I was holding on because I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. It took my finger off.
Oh, he Was the car rolling?
No, he was driving and somehow ended up going off the other side of the road and a tree took his
finger like the off. Okay, so like the berm probably sucked his car over to the trees.
Horrifying. I have no idea. I walked into the conversation. I looked. He was missing his pointer on his finger. Like his pointer finger was gone, and then his next finger, the middle finger, was it was bad. It was just not great. That whole finger, because they put it back on, he said, to the guy while I was trying to catch out.
I wonder if he put his hand out to catch himself.
He said he was holding on to the top like an oh shit handle. Like the outside of the window, because the window was down. I thought
it was dangling outside instead of...
No, he was holding on to the top of the window because he knew it was crashing.
Can we get to a better topic?
And he didn't have a seatbelt.
I wonder if like a tree limb like reached down and said, "This is mine. I need this."
Well, he didn't get one back.
Right, the tree needed it.
All right. Katie says that topic sucks. We've talked about just checking out some historical art. Why don't we break down what traveling in a post-vaccinated world's like? Because, Mike, you've done, like, way more hours on a plane than you should have.
Sure.
Yeah, you
did. I did. But I'm here to tell the tale. So,
hey, can we also talk about how I was like, hey, this is what you're, when I'm looking up your flight info, this is what it says. It says you're going here, 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 and then finally Phoenix. He's like, no, that's not the case. Now we can proceed.
Yeah, well, it was the case. So, the first thing I noticed is that the flights are all completely full. Every flight is completely full. They won't fly without a completely full plane. Didn't know that was going to happen, but yep. So there's that.
Oh, no third row seating. That is over.
At least you have to wear your mask. They repeatedly tell you that you have to have it covering your nose and mouth. Like,
did they enforce that with people who had it, you know, like
they actually like the flight attendants come down and like they tell people. Thankfully, nobody on any of the flights I was on was, I mean, they were compliant with it. And I mean, they even said, like, when you buy a ticket from Southwest, you agree to wear your mask the entire flight correctly. So, I mean, they do the best they can to enforce it. I'm assuming if someone gets belligerent, they'll even, like, stop. They have to. But it definitely was pretty strict. So that was good, at least. So the other thing is, I was trying to pick a flight on the return that left later on in the day so I could get most time I could visiting, whatever, before I left. And didn't realize that this flight was like four different stops. I had to go east to go all the way west and then go back east again before I got home. And I had to change planes twice. Both or all three planes I was on were completely full in the same manner. And just, so it was exhausting. It was like 8 hours on a plane.
So in other words, your vaccine is being tested to the fullest extent because you have been on four different planes with four different full loads of people over the period of 8 hours.
Absolutely. Yep.
So they're definitely not, what is that called? Sanitizing or whatever the plane after every flight. Because I remember like in the middle of 2020, that was a big kind of selling point for a lot of airlines was, we're going to sanitize the whole plane after everyone gets off. So you would say that's not really happening, right?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't know exactly what they used to, what they like were sanitizing prior to like the vaccine. At this point, I think you're right though. That's just kind of like, well, they assume if you're traveling that you're vaccinated. So good luck. Just wear the mask, and if you're vaccinated, it should do the trick. That's all I can really say.
How you experienced that time circumventing the globe, in your travels and going from place to place, and what it felt like, where masks were required here and there, and where they weren't required, or where they weren't required at all, or where they were required more so than not. And how that kind of felt in each place. And it all kind of feeds into what's being called now as COVID-19 anxiety syndrome. And it mimics symptoms of obsessive compulsive disorder, of general anxiety disorder, and even to a certain extent, let's see, and post-traumatic stress disorder. So the symptoms of other mental health conditions, including anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, you know, general anxiety disorder. That's what it kind of mimics, but it's actually due to this kind of rising phenomenon that's going on, that's kind of arisen over 2020 due to the restricted level of travel, due to the lockdowns, due to mask mandates, and due to physical distancing protocols that were implemented as a tactic to slow down COVID-19 spread. So just being so enclosed, being so away from people, being so distant, and not seeing half of each other's faces really did create something that's a sub-phenomenon, really, that's going on in the mental health community. It's not its own thing yet. It's not really something that you can actually diagnose as its own thing, but it's something that is arguably amplified for those who do have PTSD, for those who do have OCD, and for those who do have general anxiety disorder in and of itself. This is something that is truly amplified as they go out and experience the world where perhaps they were very much used to masks, very comfortable with masks, and now suddenly the masks have been shed, and perhaps they see that it's way too soon.
So what I'm taking from that is like that the general population that got to parade around without social anxiety or compulsive disorders is now finding themselves in the position that without a mask, they're feeling those things for the first times, probably, for people who have never suffered from them before, huh?
Or even so, if you had any of those things prior,
it's amplifying. It might have
like, not necessarily like eased up, but perhaps like you were able to kind of like quell it a little bit more by saying, hey, like, I know I will be safe in this place because they have promised me that they are doing X, Y, Z, whatever. And then like a month later, you go back to that same establishment and they're just like, it's fine. No more. They took all the like social distancing stickers off the floor and they don't have the mask sign on the front door anymore. And you go in there and you feel totally exposed. And so it just kind of creates that anxiety a little bit more and aggravates it.
And I really did feel that way, too, because I felt like the CDC freaking abandoned my ass. Like, the day I woke up to the news on Twitter and saw that the CDC was like, well, you're vaccinated, you're on your own. We did the best we could, but you know what? The Republican governors are just winning on this, and we're just done. You've got your vaccine, you're on your own. Have fun. And I was like, oh, thanks, that's awesome. I'm very happy to hear this, where my state has already dropped everything. Thank you, CDC, so much. And I knew different restaurants. I knew my favorite coffee shops, and I knew my favorite restaurants to go to that I thought looked out for me. I thought we were friends. And they dropped their mask stuff and everything almost simultaneously. And I was like, well, apparently we had no real relationship here. I see how this is.
See, I thought to myself, it was like a little soon, but then I kind of had the revelation that people that wanted the vaccine had it already. And the people that were hesitant were working at getting it. And that those that weren't going to get it weren't going to get it. So they needed to get sick. So if you weren't vaccinated, it was time to get sick. We need to get through this shit.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it, honestly, because it's like you've done your part and like the biggest thing you can do is take care of yourself, your own self.
Yeah, I just kind of swallowed it as, you know, if the CDC is going to do that, they're just going to say, hey, okay, it's over. We tried. You're on your own. You got vaccinated. Good. Then my vaccines are going to have to fight. It's time to put them to the test. Let's see what happens.
Thankfully, the CDC can't like tell you that you're not allowed to wear a mask anymore. We still have the right to wear the mask when we're in maybe a public place where we're not comfortable or on a plane for 8 hours when it's only a 4.5 hour flight.
I have to wear a mask all day at work. So, I mean, it is what it is. And in most medical establishments that I go to at all, mask is still required inside of there, so that seems appropriate. Everywhere else, it seems like the list is either shrunk entirely, or at least it's, you know, still being chipped away at for whatever there may still be.
Well, I have been traveling. I've recently been in Illinois, Michigan, Texas, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and I'm soon to be in New York, New Jersey, and DC. And every single place has different rules, but at this point, the most common thing I see places is signs on the door that say, if you're not vaccinated, mask are required. And that's really it. And I've seen that in Ohio. I've seen it just about everywhere. I was just about everywhere except Texas. It was just sort of free for all in Texas.
That's true too here of Indiana. If you're not vaccinated, mask is required. Everyone ignores it.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing. The people who aren't vaccinated need to get sick. That's how you get through this.
And I've never gone into an establishment where they're like, we need to see your vaccine card. We don't know if you're actually vaccinated.
Yeah,
like,
it's not going to happen. It won't happen here.
Also, Rob, I couldn't help but notice that Arizona wasn't on their travel list.
Well, that's not a place I can drive to. AMC has to print out just a little bit more for me to be flying places in my private jet. So,
all right.
So, are we all looking at the CDC? Everybody's COVID response essentially through the lens of our current economic system, kind of controlling it rather than forces that should be.
Well, it wasn't that from the get-go.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to reinforce that. Like, see, I'm not sure the CDC, you know, the people that want you to be healthy, abandoned you. I'm certain it's more the CDC that operates within the chained confines of capitalism, where they have to just say, okay, you all can go die now. We need to satisfy the line.
We've stressed the system enough. It's time to go get sick.
They finally capitulated to the Chamber of Commerce.
Capitulated.
Yeah.
They're like, it's
time. I'm just attempting to elucidate this for the listeners.
Dang, what good word you used.
$10 words. It's a $20 sentence right there.
Government must keep that. I ain't never seen one red cent.
Well, yeah, because at this point with the Delta variant, I don't know the actual cushion on that, but we have immunity to serious disease and death, but we still are capable of getting sick and transmitting the Delta, but just we won't get seriously ill, and we won't die.
We're also not humans anymore, so there's that.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are magnet robots, right? With the GPS tracking.
But listen, as silly as that sounds, I've actually had a couple people who have started listening to the podcast actually say to me, like, do you really think that that's not the case? And it's like, no, I'm vaccinated. And they actually discussed with me how when they were a kid, their father basically grabbed them by the hand, took them to a place, and they were told to eat a sugar cube. And it was the polio vaccine.
Oh, tricks.
Which I thought was, like, just very interesting to know that as a child, she was literally tricked with sweets into taking something that made her feel like shit for days, you know? And as an adult, she's vaccine hesitant. That just kind
of... Yes, let's not traumatize children.
I've never heard of that as a delivery system for the polio vaccination, because it's...
Yeah, that's how they did it.
Like... What year was that?
It was a long time ago. She was also in the generation where I can't remember the exact age group, but they have that big giant like circular scar on their arm where they did that massive vaccine dose for a while when you went to school, where they gave you like everything all at once.
Okay, so she's kind of...
Tetanus, MMR, all that.
Like, yeah, okay. They didn't used to do that all separate. They used to just line you up and everyone got it and it left a huge scar on your arm.
Like, now you get your MMR together and you get, like, everything else separately, but, like...
Right.
Okay. That kind of makes sense. That kind of tracks, I guess.
But yeah, I never thought about, you know, and this individual, I'm not going to say her age because she listens and she'll get mad, but she's old enough that when polio was... hurting kids that she was herded off and fed sweets to protect her, and she just didn't understand what was going on. That's to get just that treatment. Never looked at it from that angle.
Yeah, I mean, to get that treatment, she'd have to be over 60. But it's kind of a we get the polio vaccine in a shot that we don't remember, but they didn't have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, they got in a vaccine that was not quite the same as ours. Had some side effects that were much less severe than the disease itself, but were also side effects that weren't altogether pleasant as well. And our vaccine for polio is substantially better.
I only remember my chickenpox vaccine because I've gotten it several times and it sucks.
I never got the chickenpox vaccine.
Have you ever had a typhoid fever vaccine? Because those hurt. Like, you can feel that shit going in your arm.
Oh. Okay, so
whenever you're traveling to Southeast Asia, get one of those.
Just kind of keeping on this a little bit. So, from your acquaintance, Rob, or friend, whatever.
Yes.
Is that kind of... Was that told to you as sort of an outline or an illustration of being, like, traumatized or as a reason to be hesitant to take the vaccine?
That's sort of what I took from it. We were discussing, you know, the vaccine and how I was, like, immediately like, yeah, I'm going to get it. And she said, you know, you're not gonna worried about magnets sticking to your arm and this and that, you know, all the common. I almost want to call them right-wing memes at this point, if you know what I mean. She had brought up those, and I was like, no, that's just blatant misinformation, in my opinion. So, no, it doesn't bother me at all. And that's when she said about what had happened when she was a kid, that she just didn't understand why she was yanked out and had to go eat sugar, you know?
Sure. That was voluntary from the parents. So the parents said, yeah, do this to my kid. It was...
Oh, yes, so, yes. Mm-hmm. She had no choice.
Well, right. The kid doesn't have a choice, but it was a voluntary program, just like the current vaccination. So she understands how and why this all happened. And did she get polio ever?
Well, no. She did not get polio. Okay. She was vaccinated.
It's kind of an interesting thing that happens in the brains of people. And I don't know if this is confirmation bias or what, but the only negative thing she got from this sugar cube vaccination is an uneasy feeling for a little while, like physical uneasiness.
Well, I don't necessarily know as though that particular experience is what caused her hesitation. We also discussed the fact that the mRNA technology is new technology, that they're already using it to create new vaccines for things that we don't have vaccines for, that it's a leap, it's a new spark of fire, etc. And that sort of was where we went from, you know, her telling me about her polio experience.
Right. I'm trying to find something in boomer brains that, you know, it is a conscious or subconscious reason for them to be hesitant of, you know, vaccinations in general. Like, you know, I get a lot from boomers about being hesitant against childhood vaccinations because they cause autism. They don't.
Are you kidding? I just got done explaining to you that they give them a shot that gave them a giant welt and scar on their arm that is lifelong and made them sicker than fuck. That's why they're all vaccine hesitant. I'm sorry. We're off the same page there. That's why they're all boomers are vaccine hesitant. They all have that thing on their arm.
Well, they don't all have that.
Well, any of them that were in school when that was the mandatory protocol, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I've never met one.
My mom has one.
What?
I still never met one, but that's one.
You've never met someone who has that, like, big circle scar on their arm?
No.
From getting all the...
my dad had one, and you met him once or twice. So.
They're all around you, John. The pre-chipped. The pre-chipped are here.
Okay, well,
my dad was not anti-vax, though, so...
Yes, I mean, that doesn't make you anti-vax.
No, but it could instill some hesitancy, because that was a program that, while done and was successful as far as immunity, was not continued because it was absolutely devastating to the children, not only physically to their arms, but to their immune systems. It was not a good plan.
Sure, that's the point I'm driving at. Like, that's so that's why we're seeing all of this resistance now, is because technology isn't where it is now. Then, like, it's hard to understand. understand the reasoning behind this, the mental gymnastics people have to do to get to a point where they refuse to understand that science has progressed to the point where they won't get a giant scar on their arm. Or if you have magnetic things in your body, you die in about 5 minutes.
It's hard to rationalize trauma and the way it affects you into adulthood.
I have a grandma who had smallpox 3 times and beat it 3 times.
Jesus.
And was like, dude, if there was a vaccine right at the time that I could have taken it for that, I would have jumped at the chance. I would have done it in a heartbeat. There would have been nothing to stop me, even if you told me it was just a 50-50 split. Like, I understand some reasons for hesitancy, but at the same time, like, when it's like, do this or would you rather die? Because at the moment, when it comes to those who are actually still dying of COVID and those who are not, the ratio is pretty heavy. Those who are not vaccinated are the ones who are dying in the highest rate. Would you rather die?
The good news is there's less of them to die every day, and the numbers are continuing to go down, unfortunately, for those that are not vaccinated. And I mean that with a true earnestness, not those in this country who are fucking stupid and choose not to take it to protect themselves, but I'm talking about all the people who are in every other country who want it and can't get it.
Like India.
Like India.
Yeah, we have to offer fucking lotteries here.
People who can't actually get it, or who might not be fully protected from the vaccine because of other autoimmune disorders or conditions and stuff. So that's something I think about a little bit more now, too.
Fortunately, the Delta variant is the most virulently spreading variant. So those who aren't vaccinated might possibly get sick enough, quick enough, and spread it hard enough and fast enough that those that aren't protected, that don't die, will truly get us to a pretty complete herd immunity, 75%+. I know that sounds like crass and cold, but it's a little mental gymnastics to say that if they keep getting sick with COVID in this particular country, there won't be as many of them for until immunity's reached.
Yeah, I mean, we still don't know the side effects or, you know, everything about it. Like, I think Jared pointed out earlier, we might have an entire generation of kids now that can't run track because they don't have the lung capacity for it, or can't play wind instruments.
True, and to play the other side of that coin, you might have an entire generation of people that are just going to drop dead in the next 18 months.
Yeah, well, I mean, we vaccinated people were supposed to die in 2 weeks.
No, I thought we had months. I thought we had like a year or so before it got us.
Yeah, the goalpost.
Ooh, a year.
So
you're true. They might be kicking
a year before we become Magneto.
Listen, if I get Magneto powers, I'm not going to be mad.
Just become the Borg. We just, like, assimilate and magnetize.
Okay, we cannot segue to the Borg, because we were supposed to talk about traveling in a post-vaccinated-ish world. And earlier, Jacob had said about, you know, some of the mental stress that, you know, the new maskless life partakes. Yeah. And I wanted Good to get point. Into that too, because I had to go to a casino today and get teeth. And I was there with... I didn't wear my mask, and I was incredibly uncomfortable.
To get teeth.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's Joe Biden's story. So I was at the casino, picking up.
So come tomorrow, I think at school, you are fully vaccinated, and if you've uploaded your vax card to the student portal and all that jazz, you no longer have to wear a mask on campus. However, today my teacher, instructor, because we got new kids and everything, and it's a new class, she was like, how many of you are vaccinated? And not that many people in my class right now are vaccinated, so I'm still just going to wear a mask. Also, I don't know. I feel weird now having my whole face out there, like, you can't see all this. You're not ready. You're not prepared. Who told you you can look at me?
Yeah.
Well, I found myself trying to hold my breath when I seen a cluster of people when I wasn't wearing a mask. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I should just put my mask on. But it was in the car. And it's like, it's too late. You're vaccinated. It's fine.
Yeah. At Shubru, it was pretty okay.
Yeah, but like we had talked before, we were nicely spaced. Like, I felt that I felt very comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. They did good social distancing there, for sure.
And you could literally feel the movement of their HVA system pulling the air away. I felt comfortable.
Yeah.
At school, there is no social distancing. It's like we're all right next to each other all the time.
I went to the dentist today, and there was a patient, it was an older woman. She also took a free umbrella, but waited in the lobby for someone to pick her up instead of going out into the rain. So she just took a free umbrella.
What? You guys have free umbrellas that you can take at the door at places?
Yeah, man. My dentist is, they're good.
It sounds like it's bougie.
I mean, I don't know of any dentist. It's just like, here's some umbrellas in case
you... I know you get like a travel toothpaste at the most.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. No, I was very impressed. They also give you free Fiji water if you want it.
Oh, like the bougiest Fiji. Dentist.
Do they jerk you off while they fill your teeth too?
No.
Aww.
Oh, that's the other. That's on the other end of the spectrum as far as dentists.
Might be
go.
The other side of the building. I haven't never.
Yeah, it's on the other side of TikTok dentistry.
So yeah, they had air movers / filters or whatever in every single room area.
Nice.
Every single person was wearing a mask except for that one asshole. It was I felt really kind of safe and secure in there. Like, you can't take your mask off until you get back into your little pod, but then there's a thing sitting right beside you that's stealing all of your air. So, you know, I don't know that they could really transmit much, and they are an essential business, so I'm glad they're open.
That's pretty neat.
I felt pretty good there. But on the other flip side of that, it's one of, if not, yeah, it's one of the more expensive dentists in my area. I happen to carry good dental insurance, so I can go there. Yeah, I mean, all this stuff costs, so.
Fiji water, huh? That's pretty fancy.
Yeah, Fiji water. Unreal.
But yeah, Fiji. And so good. They have a Keurig that I'm allowed to use now too. Like, we're allowed to touch stuff. You can have coffee.
Wait, they like come into our break room and touch our Keurig, or it's like patient Keurig.
No, patient Keurig. They have a TV that you can watch their dentist commercials on.
Wait, is that dental?
Yeah.
Yeah, I go there. Well, I did. They're before not, the
you didn't supposed to go to the bougie dentist.
Before the pandemic.
They don't understand my humor there. Like, the guy came into the room and she's like, "Hi, Dr. K." And I looked at him and said, "Hey, you got the same name on the building."
You just Brian Regan'd at him? He was probably like, "What the hell is happening?"
Or I think I said, "Hey, you're named after the building."
Yep. Yep.
And he's like, "Well, that's my name."
Okay. You tried.
He's like this dumbass. I have to deal with him every day. Shitty town.
That joke so many fucking times.
I was wearing my cutoff shirts and showing off my leggies, so I don't know. It was jorts day today.
I wore jorts today. Get the fuck out.
I have turned jorts. So many pants into jorts. I bought one of those like fabric cutter things. It's a circle. Dude. Changed my life.
Listen, you will cut your fingers right the fuck off.
No, it has a little guard.
Be so careful.
I am. But I have cut off so many sleeves and so many pants. Like, it is amazing.
Mike, hide all your clothes.
It's 118 degrees.
True. It is hot everywhere. But today, it personally
wave.
It fluctuated from 98 to 68 degrees currently. So that's a hell of a swing.
That is insane. There is a heat wave everywhere. There's a heat wave. One big one in the Pacific Northwest is pretty concerning because they don't see those temperatures very often. Phoenix will consistently get to 120 about every summer, but it only lasts maybe 1 to 2 days. And those 1 to 2 days, everybody is, it's almost like a blizzard, you know, on your side of the country where you just stay inside and like hunker down. You don't go out anywhere. But this is just widespread everywhere. And it's really, really terrible. And it's lasting a lot longer. We had 5 days in a row that hit 118 here in Phoenix.
So that would be like 5 days of blizzard for us in the north.
Yeah, 5 solid days where it gets up to 118 and it pretty much stays over 100 all night. So even at 3 o'clock in the morning, you go outside and it's still 105 degrees. And for the unsheltered folks here, it's brutal. They are unfortunately just dying at a very alarming rate, and I don't know what to do. It feels very difficult to be outside around, driving around, and seeing just, I don't know, a group of like 10 people huddling in the shade, basically, because in the shade it's 115 instead of 118. And I complain about it all the fucking time, and I always have to check myself, because at the end of the day, I can go into an air-conditioned car or an air-conditioned house, and I'm very, very fortunate to have those things available to me. I have shelter, and I have water, and I am trying my hardest to get as much water out to my community as I can, and I don't have any solutions for anybody else. Like, I've just set up coolers outside of like our home where we live that just says, hey, take these free waters. We have like our entire bottom of the freezer is just dedicated to frozen water bottles. I put them out there a couple times a day. I take them with me when I'm working, or really when I'm driving anywhere now, because people that are like panhandling and stuff they need water. Everybody needs water right now. And I wish that I had more of an effective solution. And right now, all I can do is go to Costco and buy as many water bottles as I can and give them to as many people as I can. And it's awful. Just try as hard as you can to take care of yourself.
So as someone from the Northeast, I know it gets hot in Arizona, but I've never really considered how devastating that will be for people who are unsheltered. It just never even crossed my mind. Like, I think about people who are homeless here and like, oh, there's a blizzard. Oh, there's like a shelter you go to. Is there a it's too fucking hot shelter in Arizona?
There are some that are set up in different areas. They're called cooling shelters, and it's kind of like a tent with just a big, well, not like a tent, like an awning type thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like the pop-up things where you, whatever. Anyway, it's one of those with just like a couple, there's water stations, there's misters coming down, and those like big, like giant fans that are out there. But at 118, 120, when it stays that hot throughout the entire day after the sun has gone down, and it's still over 100 into the 110s, after the sun has gone down is when it is truly just brutal. You know, when you're walking around outside with no sun and you're still just dripping sweat, it's awful. And I really wish that I had more resources to reach more people right now, because it's awful, just the alarming rates that people are just dying on the street. It's terrible. It's the summertime is when my depression hits, because the summer is fucking awful. It's when we live in Satan's asshole.
See, maybe you should get a place here for the summers. It's only like 90.
Yeah, it's only 90. It's not
120.
I mean, to be honest, it was, even in the days it was 90 when I was there, it was refreshing compared to what I came from.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. Man, that's not even exaggeration.
That's pretty bad, because like, yep. It's God, it's just the worst right now.
It was a little breeze, and that was like just enough to make it tolerable.
Oh, remember, this may be like the hottest summer you can remember. And it's kind of, I feel like it's been the hottest summer that I can remember. But it's also the coldest summer for the next 300 years.
Dang it, I knew you were going to say that.
That's so true. That's so true.
So enjoy it, listeners, while we can.
I'm very confused.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. Well, you should be. Mission accomplished, indeed.
Anyone got any final thoughts before we wrap this bad boy?
Final thoughts. Tip your delivery drivers, please.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Great.
My name is Duncan MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod. I was born 400 years ago in the Highlands of Scotland. There can be only one.
Excellent. I would also like to thank whoever put in the Ben Shapiro jacking off gif. I've been watching it the whole episode. I'm not sure how I feel right now. Thank you for joining us for another exciting episode of the Anal Podcast. Catch us again next week as we break down what's going on around us and probe into our personal lives and all of the things we don't understand, and have lawyers come explain why Bill Cosby gets to march around a free man, etc.
Also, if you didn't know what the secret raffle was, it's because you don't listen to the end of the episode. There's always good things in the outro. Focus, people, focus. And again, thanks for listening to the Anal Podcast. Stay safe out there.